Christmas Tree by Paul Brown. It was cold. It wasn't like it is today. Back then, there was no such thing as global warming. It started getting nippy in September, and by the time December rolled around, Jack Frost was biting. It was late, well past midnight. I was walking with my head tucked to protect my face and eyes from the icy winds. My hands were shoved deep into the pockets of my navy blue parka. My brother Pat was by my side, step for step. We walked at a brisk, determined pace. He had an axe tucked in his coat. If being poor was a crime, we were guilty. We never had much, but always seemed to have enough. I remember many days opening up the fridge and seeing nothing but ice cubes, but we never went hungry. We didn't have things like steak or lobster, and we never ate out. We had hot dogs and beans, bologna sandwiches, and hamburger helper. That stuff was good. On birthdays and holidays, though, food was plentiful. This Christmas was no different, but we didn't have a tree. We still had the lights and decorations from the previous year, and Pam, our baby sister, wanted to decorate the living room with just that. But it didn't seem right. We always had a tree at Christmas. Mom had to do everything by herself, work, pay the rent, and all the bills. She always used to say she was tired, but I don't recall her ever missing a day of work. Unless one of us got sick, of course, or had some sort of issue at school. We weren't bad kids, but we weren't good either. We made her earn all her stripes as a mother. How she was able to put up with us all those years without going stock raving mad is one of God's greatest mysteries. She even had presents for us. We just didn't have a tree to put them under. I don't recall me and Pat even having a conversation about going to get a tree. We both knew there was some in the woods by Four Mile Run Park in Arlington, though. And in the middle of the night, when Mom thought we were in bed, we were going to get one. Chopping it down was the easy part. Getting it home presented many challenges. The park wasn't a great distance from our house, but having to walk the few miles carrying a big fir tree made it seem longer than it was. We had to stop several times because our gloveless hands could only withstand exposure to the cold for minutes at a time before we had to switch. Holding the tree with our warm hand and pocketing the frozen one. I wasn't sure if it was legal or not for us to chop down the tree, but I'm positive we made a conspicuous-looking pair. I would have felt awkward trying to explain to a police officer what we were doing out carrying a tree at 3 o'clock in the morning. But who ever heard of a Christmas without a Christmas tree? There should be a law against that. We seemed to be the only ones out on this frigid night, though. And finally, with frozen fingers and toes, we made it home. We found the tree stand, clamped it on, and stood the tree in the corner of the living room. The next day, when Mom asked us where we'd gotten it, all we could do was look sheepish and say we'd found it. Seeing the glee and pure joy on Pam's face as she decorated the tree, seeing the lights reflecting off the tinsel, the gifts, the curtains, the walls, the ceiling, coffee table, candy dishes, and Pam's eyes, and smelling the sweet scent of pine made me feel we'd done the right thing. It was a good Christmas. I don't even remember what I got that year, but I know we had each other. We always had each other. This year will mark the 20th year I've been away from my family at Christmas, but I still hold them close in my heart. To the billionaires who can afford a down payment on the world, to middle-class families who spend beyond their means, and to poor people who feel they never have enough, you have more than you may realize. Merry Christmas to all.